코로나 봉구이자 나니까 도로찬다 바람아 코로나 봉구이자 사바바타 설시로마니 개벌라난다 칸다 바자 바자 바 체이타니아 니타 Shaya Chariya, Sarsay Majiya, Ke Bolo Hari Hari. Ke Gore Pai, Chibuga Nenai, Devore Pai, Chibuna Nenai, Emona Pashu Paki Jore, Pashana Vidure, Yaraguna Gata. Sadamajiya, oile poiya, adena hilo asa.
Sadamajiya, oile poiya, adena hilo asa.
Apana koruna, bunjaya samana. Chanatasa
Amana Pranama Kunjaya
Sama Kuruna Pongrijana Nikai Sabavata, Sarasiraman, Kevalananda Kanda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. Nitai go Haribo, Haribo, Haribo. bon tago hari bon tago jaya jaya prabhupada jaya prabhupada Go Premanandi Hari Bhava. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Vita Namane Namaste Saraswati Dehe Gaurabhani Vacharvi Nivishesha Shunyavari Pashvari Vinyasakari All those books. Yeah. Okay, got a system here. So thank you all so much for giving me this opportunity. It's a very humbling experience. The only time I had to speak in front of such an august audience was one time I was able to give class in Mayapur, and there was a big stage there, as many of you are familiar with. And when I got up there, I saw these thousands of devotees, and I was wondering, what the heck am I doing up on the stage? And I just told them, you know, it's quite an experience sitting here and seeing all of you. You know. And I tried to be myself as much as possible. So today, I'd like to be as brief as possible, but at the same time, I would like to do two things with you. One is a kind of, in Spanish, there's an expression called vuelo de pájaro. It means like a bird's, like a flight of a bird view. It means like a very abridged and basically some excerpts. So we can go through some of the basic ideas of the life, the Leela of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, not going into, just giving an overview of his 48-year presence. His 48-year you can say life of Leelas in this world. So the biography I'm taking from Srila Prabhupada, you may be familiar that at the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first verse, there's he calls it it's not that short, but he calls it a short sketch of the life of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it's interesting to read that because apparently he wrote that even before coming to America or just coming to America, and the movement really hadn't started yet. So he expresses some wishes at the end that by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, he was able to be very able to fulfill. So this is respective bios by Srila Prabhupada and Adi Keshava Prabhu. That's OBL Kapoor. He was Srila Prabhupada's friend and godbrother. And just for the record, in case anyone has any doubt, I have in these papers, I wrote a letter or an endorsement of Srila Prabhupada encouraging us to read that book. I got in a little trouble in Los Angeles because I was quoting from that book and the senior devotees were saying, you know, where's the Prabhupada didn't write that way. But actually Prabhupada encouraged us to read this book. It's called The Life and Teachings of Sri Chaitanya. And it's quite deep and Prabhupada really appreciated And if I had time, I'd read excerpts, but afterwards I can share it with you. So the other day, Ram Govinda Prabhu, he gave a very erudite presentation of on the appearance day or disappearance day of Madhavendra Puri. So you got a little, he gave some Chaitanya Lila in that sense, a biography we can say, but I'll go a little bit more into it. This is a combination. Some of what I'm reading are actually quotes from Prabhupada, but I'm not going to keep interrupting the flow of what I'm reading to say, this is a quote, this is not a quote. I'm not going to do all that. So permit me to quote directly some words, some phrases that Srila Prabhupada used in that introduction that I mentioned. First of all, before the appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as many of you know, there was a prelude to that. I have to open up my other envelope. I attended a seminar in 1988 in Tawako, New Jersey. Many people have never heard of that place, but we had a temple there. There's still something going on. And there was one of the seminar givers was presenters. Was a devotee from England, and his name was Rohini Nandana, I believe. And he gave a seminar, it was called Armed with Shlokas. So here I am, Armed with Shlokas. I wish I had them all memorized. I do actually, but not well enough to not look at the cards. So, the prelude includes, of course, Advaita Acharya's. Advaita Acharya was very senior to Lord Chaitanya. He was about, 50-something years elder to Lord Chaitanya. Nimai Pandit, as he starts off. And he was very concerned about the terrible situation going on. I mean, compared to what we see nowadays in many, many places, it seemed like a piece of cake, as we say in America. I mean, it seemed like it was really not that terrible. People were kind of religious, but the religion was materialistic. And I guess there's a word, Prabhupada would sometimes use this word, called theism. The theistic focus of people was undermined by materialistic desires. So, you know, they were more into karma kanda and trying to get material benefits. Now, compared to what's going on nowadays, that seems like heavenly. I mean, you know, in fact, they may have been trying to get to heaven. But at those times, Advaita Acharya, of course, being a divine personality, and what is it? Combination of Sada Shiva and Lord Vishnu. I mean, he's not ordinary, but still, he has that mood. In Chaitanya Lila, you get many personalities. After all, Radha and Krishna are combined. Mahaprabhu, Radha Krishna, Nahe Anya. Mahaprabhu Sri Chaitanya, is it? Radha Krishna, Nahe Anya. That they're non-different. Naha Anya, they're not different from Radha and Krishna. Lord Chaitanya is non-different, both in one. There's also a prelude given by Krishna himself, like a kind of a looking towards his appearance. And he was saying that that he is planning on appearing. Sorry, I'm a bit disorganized as usual. But he was saying that Apani, Karimo, Bhakta Bhava Angikar, that I will accept the Bhava of a Bhakta. I don't mean a Bhakta like a novice in the ISKCON society, but a Bhakta in the more general sense, as a devotee of the Lord. I will accept the mood of a Bhakta, and Apani, what is it? Apani, Achari Bhakti, Sab, Shikaimu Sabari. Shikaimu Sabari. And I will teach devotional service by practicing it myself, showing an example. Of course, it has been pointed out what kind of devotional service. It's a hard, not that it was an act, but as you say in America, it's a hard act to follow. I mean, that level of devotional service is only one personality who can equal that, and who knows who that personality is. Radharani, Jai Radhe! So that was the, he was anticipating that I will come and teach devotional service. So, getting back to the flight of the bird here, quick running through. He had vented himself in Sridhar Mayapur, a quarter in the what was then Navadweep in Bengal. So the Lord had vented himself on the Falguni Purnim evening as 1407 Shakabda. And we already heard this morning that it was an eclipse, a lunar eclipse. And it corresponds to 1486 by the Christian calendar. When Lord Chaitanya was born during the lunar eclipse, all India was roaring with the holy sound of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. His father, Jagannath Mishra, was a learned Brahmana from the district of Silet. He came to Navadweep as a student. He established himself on the bank of the Ganges, and he married Srimati Sachi Devi, a daughter of Srila Nilambara Chakravati, the great learned scholar. So he was second to none. Of course, there's also Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, which we'll hear about. Then his childhood lila, he would readily dance ecstatically and chant the holy name. We see, I was noticing there was one little baby girl, she must have been about 3 years old, and I can see her, she was already imitating her mother, she was already going in circles, and she was getting into it. So Lord Chaitanya was doing that, but in a much more, intense manner. Very ecstatically, dancing and chanting and singing. Sometimes the young girls took pleasure in making the Lord cry and then stopping him. How did they stop him from crying? Chanting Hare Krishna. Then Lord Chaitanya made him stop crying. I'm not including myself at this stage of my life, but in one sense we'd all like to have a kid like that. You know, sometimes the kids, they throw a tantrum and, you know, they just go bananas. And if you could just say hi, and maybe some of your children respond like that. One detail, at Bitadia in East Bengal, he met his future, so to speak, right-hand man and personal secretary. Who is that? Sarup Damodar. Here's a tougher question for you. Who is then known as, that's right, Purushottama, and then he became Purushottama Acharya, and then Swarup Damodar. The Lord was then about 22 years into his appearance. I mean, we hear words when we're describing, you know, it's hard to think of other language than language that has to do with like material birth and growth in the material world. So we hear language like was born, and he was this old and all that. It really doesn't apply to Lord Chaitanya, but pardon me if I use this language, others use it as a convenience. It's hard to unpack that all the time. He met his future spiritual master, who of course, as you know, is Ishvara Puri Maharaj. He met him for the second time. First time, it didn't gel, as you said. The second time, things started happening. And he met him at Gaya, now becoming his disciple. Wasn't it, Lord Chaitanya? He said, now this is the real purpose of my coming to Gaya, is now fulfilled, that I met your holiness. Meeting with Nityananda Ram after returning to Navadvip was an important occasion. I'm throwing this in for some of the scholars here, just a little phrase. We do have some very well-known scholars here. Lord Nityananda is ontologically connected to Vishwaroop. There's some identification of the older brother of Lord Chaitanya, of Nimai, with Lord Nityananda. And there's evidence, scriptural evidence, that they're actually, in some sense, the same person. Of course, Vishwaroop left this world at an early age, much to the chagrin of his mother. While Lord Nityananda was 8 years older than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Advaitacharya was 52 years his senior. There it is. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Advaitacharya as the cause of his own advent, spurred by the Acharya's loud chanting to make Krishna come down to earth and thus restore the people's theistic mood. Now sometimes in America we use that phrase, you gotta come down to earth, you know, like, let's get real. Let's get real, something like that, you know, you gotta come down to earth. But here the expression is more in terms of avatar, so like the descent of an incarnation. Of course, just like it applies to Krishna, it also applies to Lord Chaitanya. He's not exactly avatar, rather avatari, is the source of all incarnations, even more so than Lord Vishnu. So, that loud chanting helped a lot to get the Lord to come down. Advaitacharya wanted to restore people's, what I'm calling, theistic mood. And yet another, Srivas Thakur also came to Navadvip from Silet with Advaitacharya. And yet another member of the Panchatattva, the young Gadadhar, a student of Nyaya, Nyaya means, of course, logic, was intensely devoted to Nimai. Haridas Thakur from the Jessore district became a great devotee, largely by the influence of Advaitacharya. He associated closely with Advaitacharya before he met Lord Chaitanya. He was also quite senior too. Not as old as Advaitacharya, but he was quite senior. I'm going to become really gross now. Please excuse me. Then kirtan, first private, then public. Private, of course, in the house of Srivas Thakur. Those were those nocturnal kirtans that you weren't allowed to get in. It was by invitation only. There were certain leelas associated with that. Some of you are familiar. And I think that was the occasion where one Brahmin cursed Lord Chaitanya. "You'll never have material enjoyment." Lord Chaitanya said, "Thank you very much." He was not allowed to come in, so he wanted to get even. What was he, the one that, there was one that only was only drinking milk. He was living on milk, and he was kind of proud of that also. Now that just by drinking only living off only drinking milk, that's pretty, you know, impressive, but it doesn't give you darshan or the Supreme Personality of Godhead just because you've done that. I know there's one, I don't know if I can call it a leela, but there was one exchange. You have to turn the volume down a little bit. Thank you. There's one, it was an exchange with Srila Prabhupada where a devotee very proudly came and said, "Srila Prabhupada, I don't eat any sweets anymore." And does anyone know how Srila Prabhupada responds? "So now you've become a Shudra." You can unpack that later. All right, so kirtan started off private, but then it didn't take that long before Lord Chaitanya said, "Hey, let's take this out in the street." And just like in Miami, we were having a little sangha organization called ISKCON Miami Outreach, authorized by the GBC. My colleague and godbrother, Jayabrav, at a certain point, he had this idea. And we were skeptical because there were no pedestrians on the sidewalk. But he got us to go out of the house we were renting and have the kirtan out on called Bird Avenue. And guess what? He was right. It worked because the cars were interacting with us. Not the cars, but the drivers and the passengers in the cars were interacting. So Lord Chaitanya was the originator of this public chanting, and it included conversion and pacification of the Chan Kazi. Most of you know that leela, that story. He organized a procession of 100,000 men. Srila Prabhupada, in a few classes, Srila Prabhupada would use that incident to point out how influential was this young boy, Nimai Pandit. He was able, like that, he was able to gather 100,000 followers. And Chan Kazi, that was more than he bargained with. He wasn't expecting that to happen. And many of you know the exchange where he was like, became very humble at that point. And he said, "You know what? We're relatives." And they had some family connection, a friend of his father or this or that. So, you know, why? And then Lord Chaitanya said, "Well, why? I'm a guest. I'm like your nephew. Why didn't you come downstairs? Why are you staying locked up in your room?" "Well, I was afraid." But then it all got smoothed out. And he became a devotee also. And to this very day, the mridangas are allowed in that area where Chan Kazi foolishly instructed his men to break them. Okay, then the iconic incident of Jagayamada, that was when, again, the preaching was going on in Haridas Thakur and of course, Lord Nityananda. And that, you go to Chaitanya Bhagavat, there's very sweet accounts of that. And, you know, like Haridas Thakur goes and complains to Lord Chaitanya, who sent him out to preach in his feet. He said, "He's a madman." He goes, you know, after he confronted and directly tried to instruct Jagayamada, and they almost got injured. And then actually, Lord Nityananda was going to get injured pretty seriously by Madai, right? Madai was the one that actually was the culprit. And by Lord Nityananda's influence, Lord Chaitanya didn't kill them, for one thing. Thousands of redundancies. Okay. One thing that comes out of this incident, which is very, very important, and Prabhupada stresses this in different places, as they say in America, listen up. That there was, even Madhav got forgiven, because he was so repentant and also quite frightened, having his head chopped off. But there's one lesson that comes out of that, that Lord Chaitanya said, yes, I will forgive you, but sin no more. That's the point. And Srila Prabhupada would direct that towards us also. You get saved from so many sinful reactions. Right now I'm having a sinful reaction. I can't find my reading glasses, and that's all right. And we shouldn't take it lightly. Remember, initiation is just the beginning. It's not like, okay, now I can kick back, lay back, relax, and maybe not be too strict. Jagan and Mata got that same instruction, that you make that promise and you don't break it. Sin no more. You go back to simple life. We're sort of like breaking the contract with the spiritual master. It even applies to Jagai and Madai, but they were good. They were really good after that incident. Especially Madai. In 1510, 24 years old, following the incident of his foolish student's criticism of his chanting Gopi, instead of Hare Krishna, he decided to take sannyas. Because I made a little note here for myself. It relates to Bhagavad Gita 2.7. How can it relate to Bhagavad Gita 2.7? Karpanya dosho bahatas bhava pichami pandavi. That's the verse where Arjuna decides that this friendly conversation is not going anywhere. It's not solving my problem. Now I'm your disciple, and the soul surrender unto you. So it's kind of similar in the way that his students, although they were his students, but he was like the same age as them, and they took familiarity breeds contempt. So they had the audacity to say, hey Nimai, what are you doing? Why are you chanting Hare Krishna? Why are you chanting Gopi, 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 Gopi? It's not quite as bad as Lord Ramachandra with Madhavendra Puri, you know that incident. But that did it. At that point, Lord Chaitanya said, okay, let me take a position where people will be obliged to show respect and they won't become overly familiar with me like that. They even, those students, they even wanted to attack him physically. They really blew it. But it was part of the Leela, because that's for Lord Chaitanya to take sannyas. He took sannyas from Keshava Bharati. Took sannyas from Keshava Bharati. And the initiation is seen historically as but a formality, because Nimai Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually first whispered his sannyas mantra into the ear of Keshava Bharati Maharaj. And then he confirmed it and whispered it back. So in one sense, Lord Chaitanya initiated himself, in one sense. But he did take sannyas from Keshava Bharati. Not more than a month after that, now he's Lord Chaitanya, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's no longer called Nimai Pandit. About a month after a final meeting with Mother Sachi at the house of Advaitacharya in Shantipur, Nimai, now Sri Chaitanya, left for Jagannath Puri accompanied by four disciples, Nityananda, Damodar Pandit, Jagadananda, and Mukunda. And then so many things happened. The conversion of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was a huge milestone in the history of Vaishnavism, because he was the greatest logician of all of India. And logic wasn't some afterward some parentheses and knowledge. Logic is very much revered as very, very substantial and important. It still is to a certain extent. So he defeated him very beautifully, and as a result, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, that was the incident with the 64 versions of the Atma Brahma verse that, as we say, blew the mind of, he was astounded by that, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was. And then he became also a disciple. And immediately he composed, using his own ability, we use everything we have, we should use it to serve Krishna. So what did Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya do immediately? He composed 100 verses right on the spot. And of those 100 verses, there were two of those. The one we know best is Vairagya Vijani Jabhakti Yoga Shikshartam Ekhat Purushakpunana Sri Krishna Chaitanya Sarira Dari Kripam Budir Rastam Aham Padadye. That Lord Chaitanya has come to teach us devotional service and knowledge and renunciation of everything that doesn't foster devotional service. He has come because he's the Kripambudhi. Ambuda is ocean. So he's an ocean of mercy. And that's one of the most important, everything I have to say today except for the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. That word mercy is so essential. Namo Maha Vandanyaya. You're the most merciful incarnation, that was spoken by Srila Rupa Goswami. He takes shelter because he's given us everything we need to go back to home, back to Godhead. Out of his causeless energy, the Lord manifested before him, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, first as four-handed Narayan, and then again as two-handed Lord Krishna, with a flute in his hand. There were about 9 other instances when Lord Chaitanya manifested his divinity. Although he's Chana Avatar, Itam Natir Yadrishi Deva Jashavatayai, Lokandi Babayasi, Hamshi Jagatpati Pan, Dharmo, Pashi Yuganu Vitam, Chanakalo Yada Babashi Yugo Tasatvam. It's a verse spoken by Prahlad Maharaj spoke that verse about Lord Chaitanya, and I think it's, I'll just paraphrase it, it's that he's glorifying the Lord, saying you've appeared many times as a fish, as a tortoise, as rishis, as human being, so many different forms, but in the to annihilate Katipa and those who are real problems for the world, you get rid of them, and you also protect the devotees, and you have that mission. But in Kali Yuga, Chana Avatar, you're hidden. You don't openly reveal yourself. Therefore, Krishna is known as Tri Yuga, one who only appears. And that was, of course, gets back to the discussion that there was between Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Lord Chaitanya, where he tried to say, well, the Lord is Tri Yuga, he only appears in Tri Yuga. So this young man, this new sannyasa at that point, he's certainly a great devotee, undoubtedly. He's a great, wonderful devotee, no question. But he can't be God, he can't be Lord Vishnu himself, because there's no avatar in Kali Yuga. Well, there is an avatar, and it's called Chana Avatar. It's kind of like a set of one. There's so many categories of avatars, but Chana Avatar refers specifically to Lord Chaitanya. So there is an avatar for Kali Yuga, and I'm not, aside from Kalki, go that way. So soon Lord Chaitanya left for a 2-year tour of South India. Now the bird is going to fly faster, so I can finish maybe if there's still time for some philosophy. Above these topics discussed by the Lord, and then the Lord met, in his tour, he met Ramananda Roy, and that famous Ramananda Roy, that Sambad, that amazing conversation, where the Lord used Ramananda Roy as a mouthpiece in a sense, and he revealed higher and higher levels of culture and philosophy and Siddhanta. And this is an interesting, this is where it gets interesting when I mention how Srila Prabhupada wrote that before the Hare Krishna movement really started, at least around the world. And he writes here that we have presented further talks with Ramananda Roy with the Lord in another book, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. But he does say that we purposely withhold those topics for the present. If you want to go at your own risk, you go to Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, then you can hear about these. But you can see how Prabhupada was very cautious, what to speak of, talking about Rasa Leela, just to hear that conversation, which includes all of that. It says, we purposely withhold those topics for the present because one has to come to the spiritual plane before further talks with Ramananda Roy can be heard. If you really want to go hear the further talks, go to Teachings of Lord Chaitanya. The Chaitanya Charitamrita is not published yet. At Varanasi, Sri Chaitanya met Sanatan, who managed to escape from Hussein Shah's prison, and there delivered prolonged instructions. In Prayag, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to a place called Dasashvamedha Ghata, and it was there that the Lord instructed Srila Rupa Goswami and empowered him in the philosophy of devotional service. In Varanasi, he also met Prakashananda Sarasvati and his thousands of Mayavad sannyasis, and their conversion was, as we say, big. It was a very huge moment, and that Varanasi was a place of impersonalism. But this, to a great extent, dissipated that tendency there. In Vrindavan, the Lord took bath. We went to Vrindavan, finally, in 24 important bathing places, or ghats. He traveled to all the 12 important vanas, forests. And in these forests, all the cows and birds welcomed him as if he were their very old friend. So this morning earlier, we were seeing one tiger was like swooning. I hope it didn't fall off the branch of the tree. It was such a far out, amazing depiction of a tiger in ecstasy. That was in Jarakanda forest. On the bank of the Dasashvamedha Ghat at Prayag for 10 days continually, the Lord instructed Rupa Goswami about devotional service. And then after having successfully preached all over India, he left it in the hands of his able disciples. And so after 6 years of such traveling sankirtan, he now retired at Puri, where he remained for the last 18 years of his manifest appearance. So it's just like a little structure here. The first 24 years is Nimai Pandit. It's not all Nimai Pandit, and he got initiated sannyas. So that is really like two parts. One part is Nimai Pandit, the student, the a little bit arrogant scholar. He was like, you know, it seemed so unlikely. And of course the Vaishnavas of Navadvipa were saying, he's so beautiful, he's so amazing, he's so learned. But they avoided his association. I wish he were a devotee. Well, they just had to be patient. because by the mercy of destiny, by Lord Chaitanya's mercy and the mercy of his ostensible guru, Vishwapuri, he blossomed very quickly and became a leader of the Vaishnavas, another group. So most of you are already somewhat familiar with Antya Leela's detailed descriptions of the Lord's ecstatic bodily and mental transformations. The only other instance of such devotional intensity is found, once again, in... Right, Srimati Radharani. Okay, now you got it twice. There's much mystery and controversy regarding the passing away, the disappearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. No traces of his body were ever found. Anyway, there is ample indication that he either merged with the deity of Lord Jagannath in the temple or with that of Tota Gopinath, also in Puri. Reports by his Bengali disciples, along with other historical evidence, all indicate that he departed before early 1534 A.D. That's the Christian calendar. Another mysterious incident occurred shortly before his disappearance, Leela, when Advaitacharya spoke in code as a sonnet with Jagadananda Pandit just before the latter returned to Puri. And he said the following, he said, "Please," this is Advaitacharya, "please inform Sri Chaitanya, who is acting like a madman, that everyone here has become mad like him. Inform him also that in the marketplace, rice is no longer in demand. Further, tell him that those now mad in ecstatic love are no longer interested in the material world. Also tell Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that one who has also become a madman in ecstatic love," that's referring to himself, Advaita Prabhu, "has spoken these words." Antya Leela 19.21.22. In summary, the early life of the Lord is most fascinatingly expressed by the author of Chaitanya Bhagavat, and as far as the teachings are concerned, they are more vividly explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Now they are available to the English-speaking public in our teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So that's a quote from Srila Prabhupada. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki. So I need to know, it's already a quarter after nine. I went a little longer than I planned on. What's my cutoff time? 15 minutes left. All right, so I won't have time to really do what I have prepared for. Maybe it's Krishna's arrangement. What I was going to do for the rest is go into a philosophical kind of mood, format. And what I wanted to do was to talk about the five branches. These are arbitrary. How do you classify different parts of philosophy? But basically, we're talking about ontology or metaphysics. And then you have epistemology, also known as the theory of knowledge. That's my favorite part of philosophy. I think it has a lot of relevance to Krishna consciousness and how we, what we base our evidence on. And then there's ethics, of course, or morality, and there's logic, and there's one or two other main accepted branches of philosophy. So what I was going to do is to relate, maybe I'll have time just to do one of those, to start off with. Well, I guess it would be appropriate to start off with Lord Chaitanya's identity. That would be called ontology, the study of being or metaphysics, especially applied to religious settings. So that verse I already quoted, which gives the evidence of the identity of Lord Chaitanya as Vishnu Tattva. This is Prahlad, who's glorifying the Lord. And that's that verse about, you know, appearing in the families of Avidas. In that way, my Lord, you appear in various incarnations as a human being, an animal, a great saint, a demigod, a fish, or a tortoise, thus maintaining the entire creation of in different planetary systems and killing the demoniac principles. According to the age, O my Lord, you protect the principles of religion. In the age of Kali, however, you do not assert yourself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore you are known as Tri Yuga, or the Lord who appears in three yugas. So that gives some hint in terms of Lord Chaitanya's identity. There's more. This whole thing about one in five or one in six sometimes is described at the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamritam. Vande Gurum Isha Bhaktan Isham Isha Vatarakam Tat Prakasham Chatach Chattihi Krishna Chaitanya Samyakam. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the spiritual masters. This is the first verse of Sisi. The devotees of the Lord's incarnation, his plenary portions, his energies, and the primeval Lord himself, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that's a very esoteric topic to understand Panchatattva. Srila Prabhupada wrote a book about Panchatattva and about Lord Chaitanya's debate with defeating Prakashananda Sarasvati, and it's called, I think the book is called Lord Chaitanya and Five Features. I got that book in 1973. And I'll just read the translation to the third verse of CC Chaitanya Charitamrita. What the Upanishads describe as the impersonal Brahman is but what? The effulgence of his body. And the Lord known as the Supersoul is but his localized plenary portion. Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna himself, full with six opulences. He is the absolute truth, and no other truth is greater or equal to him. So there's some hints about the ontology, about the being, or the very identity of Lord Chaitanya. I guess I can talk about another branch of philosophy is called epistemology, otherwise known as theory of knowledge. How do we know what we know? How do we know what we know is true? Are our beliefs justified? What is the criterion for truth, for something to be true? Is it just justified belief? I mean, that's what they get into, those who deal with epistemology. But epistemology is very prominent in Srila Prabhupada's teachings. When you study Bhakti Shastri, they give you seven different topics that are discussed in Bhakti, and one is called knowledge. Well, wait a second, it's all knowledge. But really it's indicating epistemology. Epistemology is knowledge about knowledge. In other words, I already gave a hint. So, how do we know? What can we know? What are our abilities to know? In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 9.194, Aprakrita Vastuneha Prakrita Gochara Veda Puraneti Ekahi Nirantara. Translation. Spiritual substance, that's Aprakrita, is never within the jurisdiction of the material conception. This is always the verdict of the Vedas and Puranas. And the context is quite interesting. Touches on another Chaitanya Lila when Lord Chaitanya was consoling the great, great devotee of Lord Ramachandra. He invited the Lord to come and take his lunch. And the Lord said, okay, here I am, but you're not cooking. What's going to happen? And the Brahmin said, oh, yes, yes, I will cook presently. But I'm so unhappy. What's wrong? He said, Sita Devi, the mother of the universe, is being kidnapped by Ravana. And, you know, in other words, he wasn't goofing around. He was actually really sincerely in the mood of Hanuman, or in the mood of he was a great devotee of Lord Ramachandra. So Lord Chaitanya found some literature, and he consoled him with this verse. He was saying that now this is not only epistemic, but even in terms of activity, that the aprakrita, spiritual substance, can never, you say, never is within the jurisdiction. In other words, can't be kidnapped by prakrita, by the mundane scope of knowledge, can never encompass spiritual reality or aprakrita. So it has a little more abstract philosophical connotation, but it also means that, don't worry, Ravana really didn't capture Sita, he captured a Maya Sita. It doesn't seem like that when you read about it, that Maya Sita was doing a good job of acting like the real Sita, but he never really got the real Sita. So anyway, the Brahmana started cooking at that point, and things went on normally. This is something I should have quoted at the very beginning of this class. Aham hi pushtor yamano bhavadbhira chakcha atma avagamo trayavan nabak patantyatma samam patatrinas tata samam vishnu gatim vipashtitaha. This is Sita Goswami. O rishis who are as powerfully pure as the sun, I shall try to describe to you the transcendental pastimes of Vishnu as far as my knowledge is concerned. As the birds fly in the sky as far as their capacity allows, so do the learned devotees describe the Lord as far as their realization allows. This is like a heads up to anybody that is going to preach and give class and or teach, that of course in teaching we have to teach things that are beyond our realization, we can't avoid it, but in general we should speak according to our realization, just as the birds can fly different lengths and different heights according to their capacity. And we shouldn't forget the Vedas. Sarvagyamu niravakya shastra paramana. What is it? Amat shabha jivera haya shastra dvara jnana. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 20.353. Some of those chapters are really long. The Vedic literatures composed by the omniscient Mahamuni Vyasadeva are evidence of all spiritual existence. Only through these revealed scriptures can all conditioned souls attain knowledge. There's actually a verse in the Vedic scriptures that confirm that the Puranas, the Itihasas, they're also, although not directly the four Vedas, but they're acceptable as Vedic literature. So that is good, because we're not qualified to study the Vedas. Even Lord Chaitanya said he wasn't qualified, let this be the brush. So then there's that work by Srila Jiva Goswami, you know, his Sandarbha. So you have the Tattva Sandarbha, where by a process of elimination, he narrows it all down to the Puranas, and then which Purana? The Bhagavad Purana. There's the one, we can say, Vedic literature. That's the way we get the Vedas in Kali Yuga, when we're really not qualified to study the Vedas. But we're getting everything that the Vedas can give us, everything that's of any worth to us in Kali Yuga, through the Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahapurana. Q&A. All right. Well, there'll have to be really brief Q's and brief A's. Very brief questions, very brief answers, because I get the hook at 9:30. So. Is that a promise or a threat? Someone has a question? Question just coming up. I hope your question is
satisfied. Okay?
Turn on the microphone. You want more philosophical.
Maharaj, I think you cited that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was the most learned. How would you distinguish from Lord Chaitanya's encounter with Keshava Bharati? I understood that he was like so topped. Keshava Kashmiri.
Now it makes sense to me. Keshava Kashmiri.
Please forgive me.
Well, there's a big difference. Keshava Kashmiri. Who's considered the most learned? As compared to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, I did qualify his championship, you can say, in terms of logic. He was the greatest logician of all of India. I think that's even historically recognized. But this Keshava Kashmiri, he was pretty powerful. But really the one thing that they both had in common is that they both surrendered to Lord Chaitanya. They both became defeated, despite their respective prowess in learning. So it looks like we're getting ready for a bathing of the Supreme Lord. So thank you for asking questions. So we had a Q&A. So there's only like 1 minute left.
Maharaj, yeah.
Someone else?
Yes, here, Maharaj.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Here, Maharaj, here. My question is that you're mentioning that the devotees were praying for Lord Chaitanya to become a devotee. So when he became a devotee, how long of association did they have of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu before he left them?
I mean, like during his first 24 years, a good deal of that was, as Nimai Pandit, kind of rather arrogant and proud scholar, and very beautiful and very learned, but still not devotee, at least not ostensibly. So then you want to know the exact date when he made that transition. All I can say is that maybe somebody else can help me with that, but it's when he went to Gaya and he met, he also went to one other sacred place, saw Lord Krishna's footprint, and then that conversion took place. But that was all within a 24-year period. When he took sannyas, he did travel for was it 6 years he was traveling in South India and all that, and then finally the Anchalila began and he retired to Jagannath Puri. He went traveled and went back to Jagannath Puri, and that was on the request of his mother Sachi. But I can't give you an exact time frame of how many years he remained Nimai Pandit and then he became converted, so to speak. Okay, I think the Abhishek is just about to get underway, so thank you all so much for tolerating my whatever I am, and I hope we'll see you again.